When he was just 15, Kenneth Young received four consecutive life sentences without parole for participating in a series of armed robberies. After spending over a decade in prison, he believed he would die behind bars. A new documentary called 15 to Life follows Kenneth's struggle to navigate the justice system and looks at the fact that thousands of minors are serving sentences intended for society's most dangerous criminals. It premieres next Monday at 10 p.m. on Channel 13. And joining us now are its director, Nadine Pequeneza, and sentencing expert, Mishy Farouki, the juvenile justice policy strategist for the American Civil Liberties Union. And I'm very pleased to welcome you both to our show.
Thank you.
Nadine, how did you first hear about Kenneth Young's case?
Well, I first heard about the issue, and then I found Kenneth when I decided to do a documentary on it, because the United States was actually the first country in the world to establish a juvenile justice system. And now it happens to be the only country in the world that sentences juveniles to life without parole.
And he was sentenced in 2000?
2001.
Mm-hmm. Because he had engaged in, four armed robberies?
He committed four armed robberies with someone who was 10 years older than him, who happened to be his mother's drug dealer. They were committed over a span of 30 days, and when he was arrested, he was convicted.
Now, Mishy, are people like Kenneth being tried as adults?
Yes, there's thousands of young people every year who are being tried as adults, and as Nadine said, the United States is the only country in the world that can sentence a young person to a life sentence without parole.
But a life sentence for committing armed robbery, he wasn't even the one with the gun. Is life for armed robbery common in this country?
Well, it has happened in hundreds and hundreds of cases around the country. But in 2010, before 2010, the Supreme Court has ruled that you cannot sentence a young person to life in prison for a non-homicide case. And as a result, you see cases like Kenneth's coming up for resentencing, because the Supreme Court has recognized that sentencing a young person to die in prison for a non-homicide case is cruel and unusual punishment.
The Supreme Court ruling was in Graham versus Florida, and this takes place in Florida as well. So is Florida a special case?
Florida is a special case. Florida tries more young people as adults than any state in the country, and there's more young people serving time in adult jails and prisons than any state in the country. So Florida is a special case.
Nadine, as you said, Kenneth didn't commit those armed robberies alone. Can you tell us about Jack Bethea?
Jack Bethea was a neighborhood drug dealer, so Kenneth was exposed to him because of his mother's connection to him. He had a long arrest record for assault and drug dealing, and by his mother's words, had brought other young people into committing similar robberies before Kenneth.
And yet he received a lighter sentence than Kenneth.
He did, and in fact, that happens around the country. Kenneth's lawyer, Paolo Anino, told me that it's quite common for the adults to be sentenced less harshly than the children that they bring into the crimes with them.
Do you know the logic behind, the rationale behind that kind of thinking, Mishy?
I think what happens is that young people, often lawyers, don't know how to work with young people, and young people don't understand the gravity of the sentences before them. Sometimes they are less willing to take a plea, and whereas an adult will take a plea and sometimes receive a lesser sentence than the young person. And it's really about, these young people, facing very severe penalties, and it's very hard for them to fathom, those type of sentences. And so it's often the quality of the representation that they're getting is one factor.
And he claims that he didn't reveal everything about the case when it was tried the first time. He says that Jack Bethea forced him to commit robbery by threatening his mother. But that was dismissed because he didn't speak up as a 15-year-old in his original trial.
Kenneth says that he told his first public defender that, but she felt it was irrelevant to the case and didn't bring it up in court. But what Mishy was saying is true. Like, most often, these juveniles don't help their lawyers build a defense because they don't really understand what's happening.
Go ahead.
So I was going to say, Kenneth was offered 50 years was the plea bargain he was given.
Well, 50 years is still a long time for a 15-year-old kid to be looking forward to.
There's no way that Kenneth would have accepted that.
Do many prosecutors and judges support life sentences for child offenders?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's been a survey of prosecutors and judges around the country, but it is, there's over 2,500 young people nationally who are serving life without parole sentences. So it's, it's a very significant number of young people.
Well, it suggests that they doubt children will be rehabilitated in prison.
That's right. It's basically giving up on a young person and saying that that young person is what that, their worst act is. And we believe that young people are much better than what their worst act is, and that young people have tremendous capacity for rehabilitation, and they're still developing. When they're 15, 16, 17-year-olds, the science proves that their brains are still developing, and they're not who they're going to be in 10, 15 years.
Are there resources available for children to receive counseling, education, other services while they're in prison?
Unfortunately, there's not enough.
And Kenneth, we learn they wrote him off because he had such a long sentence, so they saw no reason to put him into classes.
That's right.
60% of the children who receive life without parole sentences say that they don't have access to reform programs, because it varies from prison to prison, but most prisons don't see the value.
Didn't the judge who originally sentenced Kenneth say later that he regretted it?
He said that he did not understand that Kenneth would not have an opportunity for parole because he wasn't aware that the Florida legislature had abolished parole.
What does a defendant need to show in order to receive a lesser sentence? In this case, Kenneth went along with this adult. The adult had the gun. In one point, Kenneth even prevented the adult from raping a woman. You would have thought that all would have worked in his behalf.
You would think. And unfortunately, in the film you see that the judge didn't really take into consideration Kenneth's record in prison, the fact that he had only one disciplinary infraction. I think it was for not making his bed. So he had sought out programming on his own where the programs weren't being offered to him. So he had, really had to work to receive programming. So you would think
he was self-educating.
He was self-educating himself. And so you would think that the judge would take that into consideration. And so it's hard to know what it would take for a young person to prove that they have been rehabilitated when Kenneth seemed to be doing all the right things.
Well, the judge in his sentencing actually said that he believed Kenneth was rehabilitated, but for him, it wasn't enough time. So then it becomes a question of why are these children or young people being kept in prison? If it's not for rehabilitation, what is the ultimate goal?
He also said he saw lots of cases like this, as though Kenneth was not an individual person, but just another annoying thing that judges have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. That he'd heard it a million times, not wasting a life, and if he had a dollar, yes.
My guests are Nadine Pecanesa, who has made a film called 15 to Life, which premieres this coming Monday at 10 p.m. on PBS stations, Channel 13 here in New York, and Mishy Faruqi, the juvenile justice policy strategist for the American Civil Liberties Union. Nadine, what was the response of people? How did they react when you told them about the subject of this project?
Most people I talked to about the film while we were making it didn't realize that this was happening. So I think it's a little known practice.
Well, I'm assuming people are most surprised that the United States is the only country in the world that puts minors into prison for life. And that includes some pretty terrible countries with some pretty terrible criminal justice systems. You're nodding your head, Mishy. This wouldn't happen in China or Iran or, I don't know, I could probably...
Yeah, the United States really is alone in the world in the way that it sentences young people to such successive sentences. And I think Nadine brought up a good point earlier that even if the Supreme Court has, banned life sentences without parole for non-homicide cases, what you're seeing is in the resentencing of these young people, and also as legislators try to address, what is an appropriate sentence, you still see excessively long sentences. So, he was facing, when he was facing a plea, it was 50 to life. And for a young person, that seems like an eternity. And so the larger question is, how much time do young people have to serve?
And he will still serve much of his life in prison.
He's slated to get out in 2030 now, so he'll be 45 years old and have spent two-thirds of his life in
prison.
Instead
of 65, yeah. Which was the first plea offered. How did you get in touch with Kenneth and his family, especially his mother, who regrets the way she acted, but she has a lot to regret.
She does, and I think Stephanie struggles with that every day. I know she's rebuilt her relationship with Kenneth since he's been in prison, and she's clean now. She's not using crack cocaine anymore. So their relationship has come a long way, but I know she has a lot of regrets.
Kenneth takes full responsibility for his role in these crimes. Does that ultimately hurt his chances for early release?
I mean, that's a good question. I think that the...
I thought when you say, well, I did it, I'm really sorry, I was young, I was foolish, this man was threatening my mother, et cetera, that all of those things are seen as mitigating circumstances.
They should be seen as mitigating circumstances, and the court does look for whether or not you're showing remorse as a factor in whether or not to release someone. So the fact that I think Kenneth does take full responsibility, although there's the film points out that there's a lot of evidence to show that he was coerced into participating in these crimes.
What's the minimum age of criminal responsibility?
Well, it really varies from state to state, In 40 states, 18 is the minimum age of criminal responsibility. So if you're under 18, based on your crime, you can be tried in juvenile court or in adult court. And more serious cases are in adult court. But New York and North Carolina, the minimum age actually is the maximum age is 15. And so once you turn 16, you're considered an adult. And all 16, 17-year-olds in New York are automatically tried as adults. And if they're sentenced, they're sent to adult prisons.
The Supreme Court concluded that children are different. Well, according to experts, how early in life can you be held fully accountable for your actions?
In Florida, an indictment, there is no minimum age. So theoretically, a 5-year-old child could be tried.
As an adult?
Yes.
If the kid goes along on a robbery, even if the kid only has a toy gun?
Theoretically.
The judge hearing the resentencing case, as I said, says he hears stories like Kenneth's all the time. What would it take to convince a judge like that one that Kenneth has been rehabilitated? Do you think he entered, because you were at the trial, filmed the trial?
Again, I think it's important that people realize that the judge did say in his sentencing he believed Kenneth was rehabilitated, so that wasn't an issue. And in fact, that's the basis of the appeal for the current sentence. His lawyers are appealing his 30-year sentence. So I think more so what weighs in the judge's mind, this particular judge, is public safety. And it seems to be what we hear a lot around the country coming from prosecutors and politicians, is they don't want someone to get out and commit another crime and for it to be on them.
But, of course, that could be true for anybody who you let out of prison. Some do. Many don't. In April, Governor Cuomo named 16 members of a panel that will examine New York's juvenile sentencing system and make recommendations on raising the age of criminal responsibility from 16 to 18. So we're like Florida in this case, aren't we, 16?
Well, in some ways, New York is worse than Florida in the sense that all 16 and 17-year-olds automatically go to adult court, whereas in Florida, it's based on your crime. And unfortunately, Florida gives a lot of power to the prosecutor. So in Florida, the prosecutor has the discretion to prosecute a case in adult court. But in New York, all 16 and 17-year-olds are right now treated as adults. And so the governor's commission is going to be looking at that, raising that age of criminal responsibility.
So Kenneth would likely have gotten a similar sentence if the crimes had been done in New York?
If he was,
it depends on whether Louis Scarcella was the detective on the case, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, if he was arrested in New York, he would have been charged as an adult for armed robbery. You can be charged as an adult in New York as young as 15. So he would have been charged as an adult. But New York does not have life without parole sentences. So that's one difference from Florida.
And the sentence can really vary from county to county, because Kenneth committed one of the crimes in Pinellas County, just one county over from Hillsborough where the other three crimes were committed. And in that county, he was given 7 years for the same crime. So it really depends who you end up in front of.
Since you started showing this film, have you heard more cases like Kenneth's?
There are 128 cases like Kenneth. People have been committed or given a life sentence for a non-homicide crime. About 80 of them have now gone forward with resentencing or parole reviews. Most of them released have been in their early 40s, so they've already received or, sorry, served most of their sentence.
Kenneth has been resentenced, but he's appealing that?
He is.
What's
the status?
What's the status of that?
Yeah, so in Florida, it was denied. So now the lawyers are appealing to the federal court.
Are there any states that have models, systems in this regard, Missy?
Well, there's been some, you know, good news, and there's been progress. You know, West Virginia, I think, is an example. I mean, there's been some resistance and some, you know, some opposition from prosecutors there. But West Virginia recently passed a law banning juvenile life without parole, and that young people can come up for resentencing after 15 years, and also recognizing that it should apply not only to young people serving life sentences, but young people serving excessive sentences over a certain period of time. And so West Virginia, I think, is a model of a state that is trying to change its sentencing practices. But, you know, we have a long way to go on this front.
And New York should look to West Virginia as a role model?
In this instance, probably yes. I mean, New York, to its credit, does not sentence to young people to life sentences. But as we talked about, New York needs to raise their age of criminal responsibility. So every state around the country, I think, has work to do on this issue.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. I've been speaking with Missy Farooqui, the juvenile justice policy strategist for the American Civil Liberties Union, and Nadine Pecaneza, who has made a film called 15 to Life, Kenneth's Story. It premieres this coming Monday on Channel 13 at 10 p.m.
Thank you very much.